welcome back to Lops and Tops. Finally, we are going to finish off our E3. I am here with
Alex.
And as a little prop stand-in from fresh from the lighthouse hamster wheel,
Tom. The hamster.
The boneless hamster.
The boneless hamster, who somehow can run on this hamster wheel. Am I like a slug? Do I just constantly trail forward?
Yeah, something like that.
This LARP podcast lore is getting crazy.
Yeah, I can't even keep up with it at this point. We are, like I said, we are going to be finishing off our E3 finally, just in time for E4. Unfortunately, Morgan can't be here because he's off, surprise, surprise, doing a LARP and
cringe
has already finished his E3. But our dear Kerry is away back at their family, so it's just going to be us, isn't it?
So I think last time we left off talking about obviously the Panto, which was heaps of fun, and then we had to go from silly to serious because we went over to Gerald Ashbourne's funeral, which was very sad, very poignant. Everyone was gathered around. There was a Liga there that looked suspiciously like Gellert Ashbourne, and some beautiful words were said, and then something quite dramatic happened. Yeah. At the funeral.
Well, if you want to hear about kind of what happened at the telling, then head over to LARP Noobs. Not LARPs and Tops. We're LARPs and Tops.
They were called the LARP Boobs.
I mean, with Millie on the podcast. Hell yeah. But yes, head over to the LARP Noobs and they cover everything that happened at the telling. But it was very moving. It was lovely. Wonderful words were spoken. Wonderful songs were sung. And then, yes, towards the end, something rather sad and only a select few people knew what was happening happened.
Yeah. So I had an inkling that this was going to happen and I was waiting for it, but I really needed a pee while the funeral was going on. I was like, oh, I'll just go quick now.
And drama piece.
Yeah, and I missed it. So as I was...
Did you?
I missed the moment it happened. So as I was walking out of the portaloo, Keys was just on the ground being surrounded by people. Some people crying, gasping. And I was like, tucking my kilt back in, like, Keys, are you all right? And it kind of took away from the drama for me. But did you actually see it? Like, what happened?
Yeah, so we were stood there. You know, they were kind of rounding it off. Agni had spoken her wonderful words to Gellert. And yeah, like near the end, it was all coming to a close. And Keys, he stumbled down, he spat out a load of blood and people like gathered around him. And I went to go and catch him, but I saw that there was about three or four people already around. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm not going to throw myself in if I'm not needed. But yeah, they hobbled him back to camp.
I didn't see the blood, so I just thought he was really sad. I thought it was just the sadness cane.
Oh, yeah. Mm. No, it was unfortunately so much worse than that. But, yeah, they hobbled him back to camp and he was sat at camp. Everyone was surrounding him and he kept talking about him and his wife, so him and Agni. And
yeah,
it was so, so sad. And
I was stood behind him kind of as he was passing and Agni was there, I think, like tending to his wounds and giving him some medicine and saying, don't you worry, when we get back I'm going to make you your favorite stew and all the rest of it. And it was really poignant. I shed a little tear.
I got
actually kind of upset, and then I walked past up back to Rook and they were like, you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then we all said a fond farewell to Keys. It was very sad.
I had to go to a meeting, so I didn't say that long of a goodbye.
See you, Keys.
Meet you at a meeting.
Goodbye.
Yeah, unfortunately, Keys had gone terminal in Saturday morning's battle, so he had one last thing he had to do, and that was say goodbye to Gellert, and now we have to say goodbye to Keys.
Yeah.
But it was quite funny. I mean, as previously stated, Neve very much deals with grief in a very different way and makes jokes. So when Gwyn died, she was making jokes at Tristan in the Corpse Glade, which I don't think Tristan appreciated. And then after about 5 minutes of Keys passing, Neve was right in there trying to get Agni to go on a date with her.
and she
was like, or Bung, who plays Keys, was like, but he's not even cold yet, was he, under his breath. And I was like, yeah, well, she's going to need a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, I was like, you know, she's a widow now. She's going to need someone. And then Bong being Bong, quite funny, in a little ooh voice, just went, what's that on your forehead? About my freeze brand. I was like, fuck you, man. So I had to go through the whole thing about the brand. But yeah, so real sad. But RIP, my friend. Looking forward to spending time with Keys' brother.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name.
And then after a quick... after composing ourselves, we headed back to celebrate with the Panto a lot at yep. Wise Guys, where we sat and split our earnings from the play and just chatted and touched base and spoke about how everything went. And they're such a lovely bunch of guys.
Such yeah. an emotional roller coaster you've had from pantomime to funeral to celebration.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Wild.
Thank God, I love LARP. To go through that range of emotions in such a short amount of time, it's like, I don't know if crazy. This is good for me.
That's usually the standard roller coaster of emotions I go through when trying to pick what food to order. But
yeah,
it's nice to experience it about legitimate things or made up legitimate things. But we had to head back to camp because we had our camp meeting in which we were voting on the permanent position of second of the Dread Shields, which obviously is a very important thing for me because I was running against mother of the camp, Ronan. But it was really cool because I'd had some chats with people that had come up to me from our lot and said, why should we vote for you? I'd quite a long, for about over an hour, had a really good chat with one of our Grimms, Josh, who plays Ewan, or most commonly known as Leg. Had like a really good chat about it, and you know, we kind of came to the conclusion, or we kind of planted the seed that we shouldn't really have to choose. Like, why can it not be the two of us? Like, both Dil and I play very different games, and both our characters have such strong suits, but for different things. Like, why do we have to pick one or the other? There surely should be a way that we can benefit from both. And then Leg went off and had a few words with other people. And then after Military Council and Captain's Council, our other Grim, Jord, who plays Corrin. So both Leg and Corrin were stood outside waiting and asked to have a chat with Rook. I kind of was just there for, because I was already there. And we had a big chat about, why do we have to pick two people? Why can we not do the role simultaneously? Why can we not have it as a joint role? So we had a big, big old long chat about that, which was cool. This was the night before. So when it came to the vote, we kind of said to the camp, you know, this is what we're thinking. Is anyone... in objection to this? I think only one or two people raised the hand, but that was just so it wasn't a completely unanimous vote. So there was some kind of pushback with it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone was like, I was really struggling on who to pick anyway. So now Dil and I are both joint seconds of the Dread Shields for different things, which is pretty fantastic.
Well, to be honest, as a group lead, it does work a lot better having more people to be able to delegate jobs to rather than just putting all on one person two people.
And finding someone to take a rule from on the battlefield can be difficult because if you're relying on one person to give, 10, 15 people direction, if you can't find that person, it's good to usually have a second.
Yeah. I think I've got a cadre of about 6 officers working for me. So they all have like different roles.
Oh, nice.
So if you can't find the other one in charge of camp, you can talk to a different person.
Yeah.
I think I've also been told by other groups as well, it's good to have like an inner council. So if there's any OC or IC issues, it doesn't just fall to one or two people.
Yeah. Also helps like broaden opinions and stuff and just make...
Definitely.
Yeah. But Ronan... Dil's character is going to deal with most of the in-camp stuff. I'm going to deal with mostly like the line captaining and the battlefield front and like intonation connections or whatever. Because Dil's not very good at talking to people.
You're good at talking to people?
Apparently at LARP, yeah.
But in real life, no?
Absolutely not. But we've very much established... Oh, I do hate people. But we have established that Neve and Chloe are very different people. Neve's got her shit together and knows exactly what's going on. The second I become Chloe again, not a fucking clue.
Fair enough.
So,
Do you think you'll be able to make a camp position for Kettle Boy, Alex?
Kettle Boy?
You know, like Water Boy.
Like Water Boy.
You just like got kettles of ale on the battlefield, like hydration.
It's always cold. That's why it's special. yeah, fuck it. Yeah, why not? I mean, as I say again, you know, it's not LARP safe.
No.
So I'd have to be very careful with it. But I think Otis is very much just Alex in a kilt.
Who wants to chill.
Yeah. I mean, I treat it as a holiday more than anything.
Yeah.
And an excuse to obviously hang out with all our friends. But yeah, so after this voting, what were we on with then?
We had a very special visitor come to camp. And it was not the first time we have seen this particular, I say character, we all play characters, but this one is a character and a half. This was the second time we've seen them that day. It was Randall.
Of course.
So it was Little Bastard's 18th birthday in between E2 and 3. So we had to get him, obviously, a little present.
Yes.
So Alex had written a song. The big joke about Little Bastard is the fact that nobody really knows who his dad is because he is a bastard. It could be anyone except for Dil or Ronan, because Ronan is camp mum. So we know who his mum is. It's just we don't know who his dad is, but even I could be his dad. Like, we don't know. That's the kind of the joke. So Alex wrote this song called...
Are You My Daddy? Or something like
that. Yeah, Are You My Daddy? Are You My Old Man? And it was just absolutely ludicrous. And it was sung... We hired Randall, but much to our pleasure and surprise,
yeah,
Randall's actual kid sang the song,
which I didn't know it was going to be her singing it when I wrote it. And as you say, there's some pretty sketchy words.
There's some really
there.
Not okay lyrics, yeah.
And then when she started singing, I was like, oh, all right, well, let's see how this goes. But I think she really pulled it off. It was awesome,
absolutely. But it was really kind of poetic and sweet because the Dreadshield's birthday party was Randall's first performance,
yeah,
and this was Randall's daughter's first performance at the Dreadshield camp again, and we're like, oh, stars are born here.
Yeah.
Stars are made.
It was great having both of them as well, because they're able to like bounce off each other and kind of sing parts together. And yeah, it was great. And Little Bastard really enjoyed it, I reckon.
Yeah, it was hilarious. There was a point where, obviously some of the lyrics were so stupid. We'll read it to you after, Tom.
Okay.
But it was a point where Dil laughed so hard that he threw himself back on his chair and almost tipped over.
Brilliant.
Like, both legs up in the air, like, you know, cartoon style. Everyone was just howling. It was so funny. Like, tears were streaming down our faces. It was so, so good. It was so well written, and just the performance.
Yeah.
So that was absolutely stupid.
And then obviously, because they killed it, the performance, it was that they were saying, obviously, you know, tippy bard afterwards. Yeah. And I think they made more from the Dread Shields from that killer performance than we did from the panto.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure there's over like 2 thrones there. It was
nice.
Wild.
Yeah.
Like, we pay very well. But yeah. And then I said to myself, right, I'm gonna finally have some time at camp. I'm going to sit, I'm going to eat my food, and I'm going to finally relax.
They're the famous last words.
This was about, the camp meeting was at 7 and Randall was about 7:30. So this must have been about 8-ish. So this is like, I was like, John, I'm finally going to relax. And then what do we see? We see a big group of Urizenis beelining it straight for our camp.
Mm.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And they've headed straight over. And it's because I completely forgot. I invited the Scarlet Guard, who came and saved our ass on the battlefield. I invited them for drinks. And they stuck to their word. I was like, oh, yes, I forgot I did that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Considering we didn't have it planned, we made it look like we had planned their arrival.
Yeah.
Even though we'd pretty much completely forgotten.
So and you winged it.
Exactly. And luckily, Simmel had his cocktail box pretty much positioned where they arrived in almost single file at the camp.
Nice.
So he whipped that open and I was like, oh, Simmel, can I have an orc's blood? Which, if you ever do feel like coming up to the Dreadshield's camp and having a cocktail, hit Simmel up for his orc blood. It's like a really spicy Bloody Mary shot with obviously, fucking, you know, unreal, celery, salt and all that kind of stuff in it. And he has it with, he garnishes it with a cornichon, like a little pickle. to chase it. They're fucking delicious. But anyway.
That does not sound like a good cocktail to me, but that's my personal choice.
Not your cup of tea?
No, not my cup of tea.
Oh, I fucking love them. I'll probably end up having a few a day at LARP. But so he was there in the perfect position. So he whipped the box open and we did them a few cocktails and a few drinks and chatted with them. But I mean, obviously for you, it must be a great feeling to have representatives from another nation come up after a battle and want to, you know, discuss.
I completely had forgotten. And I know that a lot of the Embercast lot were stood at the edge of their camp because they're a couple of spaces down from us. They were looking over like, is everything all right? And then they saw that we were laughing and talking. And they were like, okay, that's fine. We can relax.
Yeah.
But it's cool. They were on edge, a bit confused. But yeah, I said, you know, I'll buy you a drink, and stuck to their word. They came round. So after panicking and figuring everything out, the kitty lovingly gave me some coins and I took them to the Drunken Goose in Navarre. And the Drunken Goose were pretty much all out of booze. So it was kind of a bit of a mix and match, like, right, what drinks can we make? Only a few of the Scarlet Guard did want to drink in the end anyway. But yeah, we stood, we chatted for a while, just had a good, nice old chat, and it was really cool.
Mm.
Nice.
I was like, right, well, I need to get on because I would very much like to sit down. But yeah, so that was really, really cool. That was like a really nice moment. And they're such a cool group of people.
Yeah.
You know, big fans of them. Lovely, lovely people. And if you need reinforcing on a battlefield or if you need reinforcing for a retreat, they're your people. That was that. And then it does now lead on to...
the Jackdaw Party.
Yay!
Yay! Jackdaw Party.
I remember there was fire.
Yeah.
Anything else happen?
It was booze, fire. There was the octopus, but I think we missed.
We always miss the octopus.
I know.
I have really a free admission ticket in my coffers that's been there for 2 years, and I'm still yet to use it. I really want to watch it.
I remember seeing you and Dylan right at the front, little bastard, right at the front row of the party. That was adorable.
Yeah.
Like little kids mesmerized by the light.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
So we got to the Jackdaw Party, and then we found out about Tristan becoming a lord. So us two and Radka sprinted to the Glory Square midway through the party, sprinted to the Glory Square, kneeled down. It was somewhat as a joke and taking the piss, but also we were like, you are a lord now. So.
When I suggested it, I meant like seriously. And then I think we decided like, oh, is he going to think that we're taking the piss?
Oh, I was taking the piss.
Oh, you were? Well, I was
slightly.
I thought we should do it as like a... you know, a sign of respect, like he's had this huge achievement in his LARP career, or however you want to put it. But yeah, we went and kneeled in front of him, eh?
I was like, Lord Tristan.
At least you guys gave him respect.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, facing away from us as well. So he turned around to see us kneeling, which was pretty cool. And yeah,
you're better friends than I am. I was just enjoying party and hosting.
To be fair, that sounds like what Nietzsche would do, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I don't know if... I'm still trying to work out, would Nietzsche kneel?
Doesn't strike me as a kneeler.
No.
No.
Unless it's for the Reapers.
Hey, I've never knelt for the Reapers.
Because they've not asked you to yet.
They haven't paid me to yet.
I was going to say something then, but I decided against it.
This is a PG podcast, Al.
No, it's
Alex,
not.
Edit that
no,
out.
So yeah, so we said hello to Tristan, congratulated him, then we came back, and then, Orwin was on my left, then me, then I had Little Bastard, then there was Carrick. We had a couple of other Dreadshields scattered around in the crowd. But yeah, the four of us were there in the front row.
Yeah, Little Bastard's a good tipper. Because they were my little tip hat.
I'm not surprised, he got 53 thrones or something.
What?
And he's been spending his money like nobody's
business.
Where's
he got this money from?
He had 100 thrones.
Oh, wait. He won the bet, didn't he?
He won a bet, thrones.
Yeah, won 100 thrones, and he's managed to spend half of that in five events.
That's so much
on
alcohol.
On not
he
on
doesn't
anything.
Spend it on booze, really. He spends it on trinkets and
shit.
Shit, yeah. He'll come back and he'll be like, look at this little lizard I got. How much is that? Oh, it was only 3 crowns for this little plastic lizard. And we're like, oh. You know, have you heard of investing, little bastard?
Well, to be fair, me and Morgan were having the debate, is investing allowed at Empire? Does that count as unprosperous?
Oh, yeah.
Shares?
That was. I want to hear what people think about that, because I'm on the fence with it. Because, just like in real life, it's prosperous because you're helping a business succeed, especially if they're like a small independent business. But also, are you doing it just so you can see a large return on your money?
For me, it's like, oh, I'm investing in a bar I'm going to work at and is in our camp. So it's investing in our own camp, effectively.
I'd say it's prosperous.
Yeah.
But I can see how there will be situations where it definitely isn't.
Yeah, if you like gave, like, I'm investing in the small child now, you must double the money you return to me. That does seem a bit...
you should start like a loan shark cartel, though. Not just not for children, but, you know, like for everybody.
Plans within plans.
Amazing.
I just need money first.
But then after fun times, it was a big emotional contrast jump back to sad times.
Big sad times.
Big sad?
Yeah, back to sad on this roller coaster of a day.
Yeah, there was a skirmish that went on around nine, half nine or whatever, and quite a significant amount of Navari died or went terminal in this skirmish. Like, the numbers are, like, in the 20s. Like,
ooh,
it was...
that's nasty.
It was a pretty awful time. So an honour guard was organised, which just meant that we all lined up on the sides of the path of Navar with our lanterns whilst they were having their funeral. And, you know, we all paid our respects, and it was really, really emotional at one point because... painted the song at Songs and Stories was playing, and then we all started singing along, and instead of it being this really cool song, it sounded just really somber, and it was really cool. But there is obviously a bit of, I don't even know what the word is.
Controversy?
Yeah, I suppose, around the honour guard, because apparently there were some people telling people that they couldn't come in through the gate, like they couldn't enter Navar because of what's going on, and that's not okay. I didn't hear anything from where I was standing. I wasn't aware that anything like that had gone on, but apparently there has been. So if that was you, you suck. Like, you know, you can't tell people they're not allowed somewhere. Like, that is a bit shitty.
I mean, if it's your own camp, if like you're having a funeral in your own camp, then fine. That's but if you're different. Having a funeral and it's an accessibility point to a whole point of empire, then you kind of need to grant access because you're cutting people off from medical supplies, the safety zone, etc.
I get it, but I mean, it's not like, you know, we can't close the entirety of Navar.
No, you can't.
Like, it's a public path. So if that was you and you were doing that, you know, that's not cool. That's not cool. But
either way, it was still a very moving and poignant moment for all of Navar. I think a couple of Dreadshields as well we've spoken with afterwards. I think Dylan in particular said that it was one of his most... I don't think he used the word... poignant, but he said that it was like one of the most emotional RP moments that he'd had at LARP, which is pretty crazy. It was insane to see everybody stood in that line.
Yeah.
And obviously we were stood there, Bastard was stood with the banner. And was it Leg and Bread that were making him laugh?
That doesn't sound like them at all.
Oh, I love those guys. They're so funny.
But we finished off with Songs and Stories, which was cool because we took Albert, who plays Aiden. He was one of the panto lot who's joined Navar, so he's been coming around with us. So we took him to Songs and Stories for the first time, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Got to do on the West Wall, on the West World, whatever that
West
one
Wall,
is.
Yeah.
West Wall. Cool.
West World.
West World. Oh, I'd love, that's a great lot. Well, we kind of do a West World lot, don't we?
Kind of.
Yeah, Flying Lead.
But yeah, so that was pretty much Saturday. And then Sunday.
Yeah, and we were fighting with Aiden Sunday as well. I think it was his first time fighting with the Dreadshields.
Yeah, so tell me how the battle was for you guys, because obviously you fought the battle the day before where we monstered, so is Uno Reverso.
It was so much fun. I had a fucking great time monstering. I don't know if it was mostly because we didn't have to wear masks.
Yeah,
I
think, you got to be Asavians, was it?
I'm not sure. Yes. Yeah, maybe. Yes. Okay, there we go. And
were you EMU or were you just General Mooks? I assume you were General Mooks because you weren't wearing the mask.
Yeah, we took it quite easy. We were just normal monsters. So yeah, we spent some time just chilling in the woods with Anna and Jake and Steve. And we just had it felt like a day out. It felt like a lovely day out in the woods, like a nice little walk. It wasn't stressed. It wasn't pressured. What's the name of that chap who was leading our monstering unit?
Will.
He's a great guy. And
Will Lacey, isn't it? Darkstar.
Yes. Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah. So Will, he is the photographer at Darkstar Images, and he's the one that done those cracking shots of us from a couple of events ago.
Mm.
You still need to buy them.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry, Will. I do.
But he's a great person to have lead you if you're ever monstering, because he makes it fun, and it's like kind of lighthearted, but also you always know what you're doing and what the plan is.
That's what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And considering we spent quite a bit of time waiting, just because of how the battle was working out, apparently we weren't to go in just yet. It meant we could kind of chill and relax and have a good chat. And then...
just crack me up, though. We were sat waiting. You know, when you first enter the monstering field, you're kind of just chilling out, waiting for Imperials to get to the field. We were just doing nothing, and he just goes, oh, shit, Imperials on the field. Right, everyone, masks on, Imperials.
Go, 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 go.
And we're like, oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah.
And then there was a point where we were marching. He's like, right, you're... I've just kind of made you unofficially my general. Is that okay? And I was like, I suppose I can do that. I did that in the Imperial world. I'll do it now.
Yeah.
And then, you had a very different monstering experience to I. So.
Yeah, well, it was my first time fighting with a polearm.
Nice.
I loved it.
You see why I'm such a Hellbird fanatic. Oh,
that's so good. I think it was Leg's spear.
I think it was Dill's.
I think it was Dill's spear. He had this big, big spear. And I had Strike Down, which I didn't realize how OP that is.
Strike Down is such a core.
Oh, you could take down like a full line. But even with that, I went down very quickly. I think pretty much the first contact we made with the Imperials, we were in kind of a narrow path.
Yeah.
And I had Steve and a couple of us to the left of me. And I got struck down and then just battered on the floor. And as I was down on my knees, I looked back and stretched my arm out to my line, which was just slowly going back. And like looked up at Steve and I was like, and he was like, someone get him a healer. I was like, there's no time. And then died. And then the ref came over and went, you can't lay down there, mate. You're in the way. I was like, okay. So I stood up, put my hand up and put my back against the thorn bush and let everybody walk past. But and then we kind of got lost for a bit. Didn't know where respawn was. I came across that runner who's run for the Dread Shields a couple times. And we managed to find respawn. But we were very much just on our own.
Yeah.
We didn't have anybody to fight with, even though we technically respawned. And I was looking out and I saw Twig fighting with their lot.
A silly little guy.
A silly little guy.
So cheeky.
They had their jingle bells and they were shouting like, you coward, come run at us. And if I had, I'd be completely dead.
Yeah.
Or just like instantly dead. But then after seeing them, I was like, right, the next person I see, I'm charging at. I don't care if people are saying stick with your group or whatever. You know, I'm out here on my own. The next person I see, I'm going kamikaze and I'm charging at them. And it just so happened to be Nietzsche.
As soon as I saw you, I was like, yeah, I've got to continue tradition.
Yeah. And in his wig and his makeup, I just saw him and I was like,
the wig.
And I just started charging.
I was charging at you. Yeah.
So we both charged at the exact same time, met in the middle of the field, and we both said in unison, strike down. And we struck each other down at the exact same time and just went boing.
Of course, there was no rehearsing for this. We didn't slow the blow at all. It was just perfect timing.
So we both struck each other down at the exact same time and fell backwards. And then.
Pair of chuckle fucks.
I think I pulled back because your lot started pulling forward. I was like, yeah, I can't stay here right now.
Yeah, I ran off as well. And then I got executed by some leaguers and one guy rolled me. Which was strange. I wasn't in the way. I was like in the middle of a bit of pretty open field, playing dead. I got executed and looted, and then this person came and rolled me.
I have to say, at LARP, I've never had the urge to roll a monster.
Yeah, and they said first, like, I'm gonna roll you now, and I was like, okay. I didn't realize that was them asking for consent to physically roll me, which is what I'm fine with. Like, you can roll me if you want to roll me. And then he rolled me for a bit, and then just stopped. And then was on his way. I was like, all right, cool. And then I looked around and he was gone. So I put my hand up and went back to respawn.
He was trying to make a corpse barricade or something like that.
There weren't any other corpses. Just me. Maybe he goes to LARP to role play. That's his role play. Maybe that's what he thought role play was. You got to role play now. All right, where's the nearest dead body? Anyway, Niamh, how was your monster? I didn't really see you until... Really?
So... We had that initial push to begin with. Soph and I, we kind of like branched off, thought we'd be clever and run through this massive old bramble bush. No path had been trodden in it. We were treading the path. And it was just the two of us. And we ran straight into a wall of marchers. Mm. We were like, fuck. So got killed immediately because there was like 12 of them and just the two of us. So both got killed. Headed our way, did not know where respawn was. we were kind of up near Topgate and we had no fucking clue where Respawn was. So we just walked past through Topgate, passed through the main field just with our hands up, walked right back down to Respawn, where it is, you know, when with down by the monster and gate. Yes, we walked all the way down there, sat there for a while, sat there for a little longer, sat there for a bit more. And we were like, God, we've been sat here for like 25 minutes at this point. Like, what the fuck is going on? And then the person, he was so lovely. Like, the person that was organising everything was like, you know, I'm really sorry. I appreciate you've been here for a while. We're just working out what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And then said those dreaded words, no more respawns.
Oh.
I'm like, we've been sat here for so long. I was like, cool, yeah, fine. So I just, we were like, yeah, let's go. So we just pissed off the field. I think you had caught up with us at that point, hadn't you?
I was there when they mentioned no more respawns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then we left there.
Yeah, so you had joined us at that point.
Yeah, the Imperials did quite a good job at pushing through the monsters that time. It was the complete opposite to the Sunday battle at E2.
Yeah, they absolutely rolled, as you could say.
Steamrolled.
Steamrolled.
You should get a packet of Rolos for that.
Oh, I love Rolos. Oh,
I haven't even seen Rolos in a while.
They still make them. The Geek Retreat in Harrogate has them.
Do they still do them in the tube?
Yeah, they do them in the little tube.
I think I may have seen them in like bags, but like the
bags of Rolos.
Yeah, you know, like the share bags.
But, you know, but it's like been ages since I've seen a tube
I've got
of Rolos.
A craving for Rolos.
Yeah, they've got like caramel in them.
I love the Rolo yogurts that they do, like the little like puddings.
Larks and Tarps is not sponsored by Rolos.
But if you do want to sponsor us,
Cadbury's, if you're listening.
I don't know why I did that.
Oh, a quick shout out for the battle to a healer. This person came up to me and I'd had my arm chopped off at the elbow.
Please.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, how are you doing? You're all right. Like, she didn't want to be there, but role playing it. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I was like, I've had my arm chopped off. She was like, oh, she's going to take fucking ages. And I've never like come across a healer that's role playing from that like mentality.
I guess they're not like slaves or thralls like the Druids or Jotun. They're more like hired mercenaries.
Yeah, so she was like, oh, I'll see what I can fucking do, but I'm gonna have to take your kids as payment. And I was like, yeah, sure, don't like him anyway. Are they big, are they stocky, can they work in fields? I was like, yeah, one of them's like about this tall, and I put my arm out that was meant to have been chopped off.
Oh no.
Signaled to like 7 foot tall, and she was like, where did that arm come from? And I was like, that's a phantom limb. And I don't know who they were, but she was really funny and we had some great role play.
I
for
do
healing,
like the
so,
silliness you can have.
Yeah, if you're listening, that was good fun. But yeah, and then after no more respawns, we kind of just walked back and
got ourselves another stabby meal.
Stabby meal.
Woo!
Are they still taking pre-orders?
I have only been able to pre-order us one for on the Saturday, but feel free to try and get us another one. Because you could only order for, I think, Friday night and then Saturday at 2 and Saturday at 7.
Mm.
So I don't think they're doing it on the Sunday. Maybe they've got some left. I don't know. But if you're listening to this in time and they haven't pre-ordered out, get yourself a stabby meal.
Get yourself a stabby meal. They're great fun.
We're not sponsored by them either, but feel free.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we had something rather big going on the Sunday as well. So, as you know, the point of Saturday's battle was we were in Thrunin and the Druge were there and with all the poison, all the blue de blue de blue. So for our downtime, we were going to be supporting the Blackthorn's army and staying in Thrunin to try and clear out the Druge. So we were frantically running around trying to get enough mana and I think Wintervis in the end, but all of this sort of stuff, because we were getting Clarion Call of Ivory and Dust cast on 9 of us.
Mm.
Which, let me just quickly open up the wiki right here. Bear with me, because for one person, it's a winter magnitude of 20, so it's not too expensive, but it is fairly expensive.
Mm.
And we were getting it cast on 9 of us. So it basically meant that our MUs had the, instead of, it upgrades the strength of our military units up to like 6, I think it is.
Nice.
But yeah, it's a winter ritual. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool role play, but it also meant that we we got to see our own deaths, which was pretty sick. So we all had various different ways of how that went down.
Mm. I mean, there were some, I think there was a little bit of misunderstanding because we did it obviously in halves just because of how many of us were getting the ritual done. And I think the first half that had it done...
My half.
There was a bit of a misunderstanding that as the
ritual
finishes, that's when you have this hallucination, this vivid vision of your dream, of your death. And I don't think that translated. So when the guy finished the ritual and was like, and it's done, nobody reacted. But then, bastard, to save the day, went into his awesome role play and went wide-eyed and stared into the mid-distance and had a full terrifying vision of his death.
Dill had this plan. He was just going to shout, "You bitch! You fucking bitch! With a spoon!"
Yeah.
Like, shouting at me. I was like, whoa, okay. So apparently Neve doesn't like sharing second. Kills Rhoda with a spoon.
Yeah.
But, we all kind of had a little think about how we want our deaths to go.
Well, it's how our deaths are. Like, mm-hmm. It's how they will go if we don't change our current trajectory in life and stick to what we're doing. What was Rook's? Rook had an interesting one because they went down onto kind of like all fours and were laughing maniacally into the grass. Mm. But I can't remember what their vision of death was.
It was something like they were surrounded by all of our dead bodies. I think everyone was like disemboweled. Our logo was plastered around everywhere or something.
Rook's a crazy fucker, eh?
Oh, Rook's absolutely batshit insane. But
mine was a heart attack at an orgy in Savos.
Nice.
At the ripe old age of 78.
Surrounded by your kettles of ale.
Surrounded by kettles of ale.
Yeah, so yours is fucking hilarious. Mine was, Joe, eerily similar to how Gwyn died. And I think Neve's definitely got some kind of PTSD from that. But Neve's was, she screams at the Dread Shield to, she's like, fuck off and go, just push. As she's down, bleeding out, is falling behind enemy lines, she heroically sacrifices herself so the others can piss off.
What a hero.
I know. But I hadn't really kind of thought about it, but I had said, you know, to the others when they'd asked, I was like, you know, I swore my life to this banner, and when I let me tell you, I meant that.
Yeah.
I meant that promise, and it, you know, it was kind of cute, you know, whatever. But so we all had various different visions, and so that was pretty fucking sick. I'd picked some daisies whilst we were waiting and given them to Agni. As a little wooing attempt.
Oh, look at you, the Rizzler.
The Rizzler.
Neve said, well, it's because Gellert used to wear little daisies in his hair, so
Aww. She
thought Agni would appreciate the daisies. But also, I was like, if you're free for dinner.
Wink, wink.
nudge, nudge.
But, and then I kind of had to talk around and spoke to some other leaders of the groups of Navarre for just various different icy reasons. But, that was pretty much most of my Sunday.
Yeah, and then I think that rounded off E3 for us. It was a fantastic event.
Yeah, I like the difference of how you rounded off your E3 with death visions and horror, and I went to fill out paperwork for military contracts.
Need you paperwork and contracts? Surely
what a
not.
Treat. We finally got the contract signed to fight with Hurst Hall next season, so we'll be with Wintermark. It'll be interesting because we've never fought with Wintermark in their ranks before, so that'll be interesting. So ending the game of, we have the signature, rev up the forges and build us a mercenary banner. We're going to war.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great event. As I say, you know, that's Saturday in particular was just a roller coaster of emotions that you don't get anywhere else at LARP.
No.
Anywhere else other than at LARP, especially in my experience.
Yeah. So my usual question, what were your event highlights for E3 for you guys?
Ooh.
Shitting hell. What a question.
I'd probably say...
Was it your 17th kettle of ale? Did that one hit the spot the most?
I only usually have two.
An hour.
I'd say it was probably bouncing off you. as we both
bouchka wow wow.
As we both
shaft to shaft,
shaft to shaft, with our pole arms knocked each other to the floor. I just thought that was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, that was brilliant.
It was so much fun. What about you, Niamh?
There's just so many things for so many different reasons. Mm. I honestly never know how to answer this question, because each thing is a highlight for its own particular reason. And one of the feelings that I just don't think I'll ever forget was when on Saturday's battle, when our lot, the Dread Shields, stood with Embercast and Deadfall as we were on the retreat, and we were just in this big Navari block. Mm. And Georg, Austin and myself were just walking up on the line as little line captains waiting. And I was like, what a beautiful nation we are. Like, yeah. That was a really fucking proud moment.
I remember you saying at the time, you like broke character for a second and you were like, this is so cool, look at this. I was like, yeah, it is, it really is.
I felt real cool at that point.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I think my highlight maybe might have been Little Bastard's birthday song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, do you know what? I'll stick with that just because...
Seeing Dylan wet himself laughing.
What a treat.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he might have pissed himself a bit. But yeah, I'll go with that because,
nice. Yeah,
that's a nice moment. But the entire event, we say this every time, it's the best event.
Yeah, yeah. Each event's better than the last. But yeah, I reckon that rounds up our coverage from everyone, from all of us for E3. We'll be back next week with some pre-LARP.
Woo-woo! Pre-LARP!
We'll be chatting about all our plans for E4, the final LARP of the year.
Well, Empire
LARP. The final Empire LARP of the year. But yeah, thanks very much for listening. As usual, you can find us on all our socials. If you leave Morgan a 5-star review, no matter what it is, obviously within usual guidelines of what's appropriate, he is obliged to read it out. So feel free to leave us one of those. If you want to support the podcast, you can find us on Patreon. There is a link in our link tree. And we'll see you soon for a bit of pre-LARP.
If it is going to be your first event, or you know someone who it will be their first event, you can use our player codes as well. Not only do you or they get £15 off their ticket, we also do.
And, hey.
And that extra money will help go towards keeping the lighthouse erect.
Exactly. Which reminds us, we need to get Tom back into his basement.
I was starting to fade.
But yeah, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon for some pre-LARP.
Bye, guys.
Bye, friends. Woo!